His wife looked at him in amusement. "It's not too serious now," she said, "but it will be serious 2 or 3 years from now when Louis falls in love, as he will surely do. A young male swan will be greatly handicapped in finding a mate if he is unable to say, 'Ko-ho, ko-ho,' or if he can't utter the usual endearments to the young female of his choice." "Are you sure?" asked the cob. "Certainly I'm sure," she replied. "I can remember perfectly well the springtime years ago when you fell in love with me and began chasing after me. What a sight you were, and what a lot of noise you made. It was in Montana, remember?" "Of course I remember," said the cob. "Well, the thing that attracted me most to you was your voice, your wonderful voice."
"It was?" said the cob.
"Yes. You had the finest, most powerful, most resonant voice of any of the young male swans in the Red Rock Lakes National Wildlife Refuge in Montana."
"I did?" said the cob.
"Yes, indeed. Every time I heard you say something in that deep voice of yours, I was ready to go anywhere with you."
"You were?" said the cob.
He was obviously delighted with his wife's praise. It tickled his vanity and made him feel great. He had always fancied himself as having a fine voice, and now to hear it from his wife's own lips was a real thrill. In the pleasure of the moment, he forgot all about Louis and thought entirely of himself. And, of course, he did remember that enchanted springtime on the lake in Montana when he had fallen in love. He remembered how pretty the swan had been, how young and innocent she seemed, how attractive, how desirable. Now he realized fully that he would never have been able to woo her and win her if he had been unable to say anything. "We'll not worry about Louis for the time being," said the swan. "He's still very young, but we must watch him next winter when we are in Montana for the season. We must stay together as a family until we see how Louis makes out." She walked over to where her sleeping cygnets were and settled down next to them. The night was chill. Carefully, she lifted one wing and covered the cygnets with it. They stirred in their sleep and drew close to her.